call. She'll get it for you. She'll get it
I'd
for
like
you.
To thank you, Beverly.
Oh, you're welcome, dear. You're welcome. We're just trying to put this up so you can be the tallest client. Get comfortable with this.
I'm Robert, definitely an alcoholic.
I'm Robert.
I'm going to tell you what it's like and what it was like and what it's like now. And I do have a sponsor. My sponsor has a sponsor. And I got a home group. Glad you're here. And that's on 12th and Asbury. Wonderful meeting. Let me see. I lived in Erie all my life, central Erie, between 12th, between French and Holland. My parents had two apartment houses. I have a brother and sister, and they were a lot older than I was. When I was born, they were almost out of the house. One was in the service, and my sister, I think, just graduated school. So I was really an only child, really, because, and I was really spoiled. I mean, I had electric trains, I had a swing Jaguar, and you know, most of my buddies didn't have stuff like that. I mean, a few of them had trains, but I had a few electric trains, and there were Lionels, and I almost...
Go ahead, keep going.
And I almost did anything. I never had chores, or, I mean, maybe I took out the garbage, but and my family was really hard-working. My father was an alcoholic. I only seen him drunk one time. But that one time was really scary. He threatened to throw my... They were on the second story porch, and he threatened to throw her off the porch. Well, shortly after that, he was sent to Warren State Hospital. And throughout his life, he went back and forth to Warren, but he was one of the hardest workers I ever seen. I mean, he did stuff that I just would not even think about undertaking. He was always working hard. He used to rewind motors at Armor Electric, and that was a little motor shop between on Holland between 10th and 11th. Well, anyways, he probably got fired out of there because he was missing work because of being in Warren Hospital. And that's what they did with, I guess, alcoholics then. There wasn't that much AA then. And but he would come home every couple months and stay home for a while till he got drunk again and go back. But when he was home, he was always working. I mean, he was rebuilding the house, additions on. He did anything. I mean, he did stuff that I would never rebuild our garage, put a brick wall between the property and, cement block. Driveway. Then he'd go back for a while. He'd start drinking. But like I say, I never seen him. I only seen him drunk that one time. And he must have. But I did find wine bottles in the cellar. So he was hiding it, whatever. And one time. He was getting, he came home for like at least 10 years. And he bought a piece of property out in Mill Creek. They bought a cottage out there. And we were next house, well, it was a cottage from the lake. Well, he remodeled it, and it was just a dump. It was a dump. He put a cellar under it. He tore down the whole thing, put a cellar under it, bricked it, stone fireplace, stone front, stone thing down the... I mean, he got all these down the beach, too. He brought them... and he used to sweat. Oh, my God. And now he's in his... You know, he's probably in his late 40s, early 50s, and he's working his... And I could never... And I was never asked to do any of this. I don't know what it was. I don't know... Whatever. And, oh, one time my sister was married, and they lived in an apartment behind us on the same floor, and it was just a big door. Well, anyways, my brother, she got married, and he came home drunk and hit her or something, and my old man found out about it. And he was probably 30 years younger than my brother-in-law. They were both big. Of course, my father was bigger. He had hands time and a half big as mine. But they got in a fight. Big fight. And, well, my brother-in-law looked pretty bad compared to my father, but I don't know who won. I didn't see the fight. And... like I say, it was a loving family. My mother was hard of hearing. I never called her mom. I used to go, whoo, so she, you know, pretty loud so she would hear me. My father did that too, you know. But she was always working, cleaning, painting apartments. In one of our apartments, we had a... we rented to a restaurant. I don't know if Metro's Diner or if you ever knew Ray's Chat and Chew on 12th Street. Well, we rented them. And I could eat there anytime, but I hardly ever ate there because I just did not like their food. It was like too greasy to me. Not like the food we had at home. Like I say, my parents were always working. They canned everything, any kind of jam, jelly, fruit, any vegetable could be canned, they canned. Well, anyways, growing up, I was, like I said, I was pretty spoiled. When I was like, I'd say 10 to 12, 13 years old, all winter, I was, I'd be at the Boys Club. All summer, I was down the dock fishing, or by Niagara back there. We carp fished and catfished all the time. And I did it all summer, every day. You know, every day, the weather was good. And the same thing as would be at the Boys Club, too, where I was there every day in the winter, day in and day out. I didn't start work. I did get a paper route when I was... about 12, 13 years old, and I was not too good at it. I was always short on the money. I was spending more than I was making, so I quit. I only had it for about 4 months. Well, then I started getting up when I start to be... 15, 16, I start, I had a job upholstering I mean, it was 16 and 17, upholstering in the summer, and they stuck pins in the winter every year. And my my mother was always big on save your money, don't spend, don't borrow. Always saying that, always saying that. And so when I got to be just short of 17, I bought a car. I had the money, I saved money, and I bought a 57 Chevy. Well, I had a girlfriend in 11th grade, 11th and 12th grade. Oh, in school, I forgot about my schooling was not too good. I was in grade school, not too good. I had scarlet fever 1 year, and I missed a lot of schooling, and I flunked that grade. Of course, there were several other grades I flunked because I was too stupid. I mean, I just wouldn't study. I just would not study, and I was going to Catholic school, and they were beating the heck out of me. Knuckles, arm in the thing, paddles, just didn't help. But like I say, I got a few grades behind. Oh, it was really terrible in school. I really didn't start studying until I was like in fifth and sixth grade, but in my grade, I was just bad. I was really a bad kid. Like I say, I was spoiled, you know. And when I got in high school, you know, I think 11th grade, I started going with a girl, and got her pregnant she was 18. We had our first kid. I got married at 21, and when we got out of school, we graduated. How I graduated, I don't know, but I did. Of course, she helped me a lot with studies and stuff. But that year we got out, the baby was November 5th we got married when we got out of high school. And December 27th we had our first son. And it was raw. That wasn't bad. And I was really, really heavy in fishing and hunting. I mean, really heavy. I mean, I was really pretty selfish. I mean, I just thought of myself. And as soon as I got out of work, I was in the boat fishing. There was years I had two boats, a small one and a big one. And I just fished and hunted all the time. That's all I did. I just, all the time, I hunted two states all the time. New York and here. You can hunt Sundays over in New York. You can get more game over there. Daily limits, so I hunted over there all the time. Always had a beagle. Four years later, we had another boy. Or was it five years? And we had two boys, and I wasn't too involved in their schooling. And I mean, I went to some of their big games, but I didn't do. The only thing I did, they hunted with me and fished with me a lot, and more than they wanted to. I'm sure of that. very good kids. My oldest one became a SEAL in the Navy. He's got a beautiful home down in Florida. He's got his dock and a canal behind his house. Beautiful place. But he works a lot of hours, and he earned it. My youngest kid's got a good job, and he works at home, but he's doing good. Well, I didn't start drinking until I was 23. And I wasn't bad. The reason I started, I was best man at one of my buddy's weddings. And he was best man at mine. So when he was going to get married, he asked me to be best man at his. Well, anyways, that was my first time I ever got, I don't know if I got drunk, but I probably did. I'm sure I got feeling good. I never liked the taste of that stuff. I just had no taste for that alcohol. And so I didn't drink much, even when I first started. I probably really didn't start drinking until I was in the 30s. Because I didn't like the taste, and I was so busy with hunting and fishing. I mean, as soon as I got home, I was gone fishing or hunting. When hunting season was here, I was hunting, and of course you fish all the time. I ice fished and whatever. And I loved it. I mean, I really liked it. But as I got older, like in my early 30s, I started getting a little trouble here. No, I got a DUI at age 36. That was my first DUI, the only one I ever got. And I had to go through the ARD program, which was hardly anything. There was another time I had quite a bit of trouble here. Yeah, when I was in my 30s, I was drinking about twice a week. Of course, over the years, it got considerably worse. I was drinking 4 or 5 times a week. And a lot of this stuff, my wife agreed to this, that it's pretty true. Oh, it got pretty bad. It started getting really bad. One time I had a blackout. Me and a buddy went out, and we were out here somewhere, northeast or drinking. I don't know what happened. And I woke up in the morning, and I look over, and there's a ring tree. What the hell is this? So I get out of bed, and I don't know where the hell I'm at. I don't know how the hell I got there or whatever's going on here. What the hell's going on? I get a little worried. I'm calling through the house, and then nobody answers. I go out to the front door, and here the place is broken. And oh my God, I thought, holy Christ, something got broken in this place. I'd never do something like that. I go out to get in my car. My car ain't there. Get a grip on you. And I got a hangover that you wouldn't believe now. So I just start walking back to west. Because I knew I was east of town. So I kept walking and walking. Finally I get to in the northeast somewhere. Oh my God, there's my car. I drive home and then I'm thinking, holy Christ, how could this happen? And I'm watching the paper every day now, thinking, I'm going to kill somebody. Why wasn't anybody there? How did I get out there? Oh, my God. I even asked my buddy. I said, he said, no, I don't want him to do anything. So I must have been drunk, walked out there, tired. I don't know why. I had a car. I just go to sleep in the car. Why would I break it on? Oh, I must have. So I don't know. That was very scary. That's the only time I remember I ever got I probably had blackouts before, but I never remembered any. I mean, that one would stick to your mind pretty good. Well, anyways, I quit for about a year and a half. That scared the hell out of me, boy, I'll tell you. And like I say, you know, I was watching the paper for weeks, wondering if somebody died why wasn't they? Must have been on vacation. I don't know what happened. Well, anyways, things got considerably worse. I started going to counseling. I don't know if anybody knows Rob Day, but he was a good counselor, alcoholic counselor. And I went there for about 8 months. Didn't help. I still continued to drink. I was 55 then. And then I went to Glen Bay. He said, you better go to Glen Bay and get real help. You know? So I went there for 2 weeks. And I was really, you know, I knew I was an alcoholic, and I really started paying attention, and I did what they said, you know, I got a sponsor. I stayed sober for about 6 years. Thought I was cured, you know. Dumbass. Well, anyways, and then, you know, on page 33 in the big book, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Why? I never read that. I just don't believe it, but because I wasn't too bright, you know. And this has been demonstrated time and time again, you know. Well, anyways, that was good. I went back. I quit going to meetings. My sponsor died. I quit going to, I didn't quit going to meetings. I quit going as many meetings as I did. And that, you know, I would go to, instead of going to, I was probably only going to 4 a week. Then I dropped down to 3 a week. Then I dropped down to 2 a week. Then I stopped going. Well, I was good for a while. I didn't drink. I probably three, four years I didn't drink. And then I met a guy out there that was kind of like me, fished a lot, and he drank. I got right back into it, right back into drinking again. Now, I was 6 years sober, and this is happening to me. God. And my wife's really starting to go nuts now. She's starting to pack the bags, you know. At that time, we were married 49 years. Or 45, something. Big amount. I said, boy, I better get a grip. So I started, got right back in AA, got a sponsor. And I got a good sponsor. Started getting a grip on it, you know. I really started going back to meetings and I just got so, I don't know what it was. I just thought I was cured. I, you know. they're writing a big book. You ain't never. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. And well, like I said, I got right back into it and got a sponsor. Went to 90 meetings in 90 days, and then I start going to meetings all the time. And I try to, you know, there was several meetings I made coffee at. I'm always on this, most meetings have a sponsor list. I'm on the sponsor list if they want to sponsor. Of course, I'm not too many times asked, but I do sponsor one guy. But hey, they don't, I don't, you know how some people are, they run around and they want, you know, if you're new, they're trying to get you to be their, want you to be their sponsor. I just don't do that. I mean, I probably should, because it does help you stay sober, at least everybody tells me that. And I try to get involved, and if somebody asks me to lead, I do a lead, and I try to be involved. And you know, I used to work at, I forgot one little part of my program. Of course, some of this is not alcoholic related. I got a job at Modern Industries. Well, anyways, that was one of my, you know, that's when I started making a few dollars. Well, it was a good place because I was a truck driver and I drove all the shops. And I was always looking for a good place to work, you know, place to make money. Well, I used to drive to, you know, all the big shops because everybody got stuff heat treated from Modern. And I used to, I didn't go into service because I was 1Y, and that kind of screwed me for some shops, gave you physicals, and if you had, I had a hernia or something, I never got it fixed because I didn't want to go into service. And, but I finally got to a shop that hired me, an autoclave engineers, and it was a comparable high-paying shop to all the big ones. And I was lucky I got in there and whatever, and I started off at the saw and worked up to machinist, and then I became an inspector. The only reason I became an inspector, it was cleaner. You didn't get all... Well, anyways, I was there quite a while. You know, I was there 45 years, and it was a good place to work. But we got bought out a few years before I retired. That's one of the reasons I retired, is because Snaptite bought us out, and somebody else bought us out. Do you know who?
Parker
Hannaford. Oh yeah, Parker. Yeah, and every time somebody bought us out, it got worse. And that was a really good shop. I mean, we had good benefits and good pay and whatever, good vacation policy and stuff. But like I say, it started going downhill for years. One of the shops bought us out. Well, I didn't get a raise for like 8 years. So when I turned almost 65, I retired out of there. But it was a good place, and I was really lucky. That cottage I was talking about, my father built up. My mother lived there. Of course, he died in Warren. He died in Warren. He worked in the kitchen. He got real heavy. He got hard on the arteries. Well, anyways, when he died, my mother was there alone at the cottage that he built. Well, it was a house now. And she sold it to me. I don't know why that is, because I had a brother and sister, and I surely didn't deserve it. Well, anyways, I bought it, and We stayed there 27 years. Yeah, 27 years we stayed there. We put an addition on, another bathroom and stuff. And like I say, it was one where we could see the lake from our windows and stuff. Well, anyways, I loved that area. I just loved it. And I used to hunt behind my house a lot because there was a big swamp back there. Well, anyways, they started building a subdivision on the next street over. And I was walking back there one day. I don't know why I decided to go over there. I just wanted to look to see what was going on. And here I run into the guy that owns the subdivision. Well, anyways, I run into this guy. I know anybody would know him. But I says, what's going on here? He says, yeah, these are all lots and whatever. And he says, this one lot over here, he says, is the only one in the wetlands, and it's all by itself. I said, oh, man, that's really interesting, you know. And he gave me a price on it. Says, I'll take it. I want that lot. But you had to have their builder build a house. But I didn't care, you know. I bought that lot. God, I wish I could think of his name. I know everybody would know him. Well, anyways, and it was, you know, some guy you would never think you would run into on a dirt road. You know, what luck that was. Well, anyways, we bought the lot and we built a house there. And that was just God working, unbelievable. I mean, that was. Like I say, now we have 50 years marriage, and I married the best person in the world. I mean, she's the most honest, religious person ever going. And how she ever stayed with me, I'll never know. I mean, it's a miracle. It's a miracle because. Unbelievable. That was pretty unbelievable. I'm a very, very selfish person and, you know, always thinking of, you know, myself. I'll go fishing or hunting, you know. I didn't care what they were doing. I'm going out of fit. Of course, my kids came with me if they were old enough. Or fishing a lot. Of course, like I say, a lot of times they probably didn't want to go because they weren't in hunting and fishing like I was. But, and you know, the language when I was growing up in at Autoclave, it was a machine shop, you know, and the language was pretty scary as it was. I mean, it was shop talk, you know, that's the way it was. And I was just as bad as anybody, but the last few years I stopped that language. I don't swear anymore and stuff. I try to be more conscious about people, you know, and not think so much of myself and think about other people. You know, I try to do that. Of course, that takes work and whatever. I usually always thank God at the end of the day and in the morning asking for help. And that's, you know, my memory is not what it used to be. I'll tell you that. I mean, sometimes I forget these things. I try to be less selfish, self-seeking. Oh, I usually say this prayer if I get angry. God save me from being angry. That will be done, you know. And I try, another thing I never, you know, since I don't drink, I don't get in trouble. I don't have to worry about coming home late now and wondering what's going to happen, you know, because she would come, she ain't playing no games, but if you come home drunk, she was flying at you. I don't have resentments anymore. I just don't have any. Life is so much better. It's unbelievable, you know. No worries. I go to a lot of meetings now. I probably go to at least 5 a week. And some weeks we go to 7. And I enjoy it, you know. I enjoy people, and what a better life it is. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, drinking just got me in trouble. No ifs, ands, or buts. If I drank, somehow, some way, I would get in trouble. That's what it is. And, my wife's family were alcoholics, and she did not like alcohol because of that. And so if I drank, I knew it. That was a big help for me. I mean, she was really a pushy person on not drinking and whatever. And I still got some bad habits I just cannot break. I mean, I'm too stupid, whatever, who knows. I mean, I still smoke. I've been smoking since I was 15. I don't smoke as much anymore. Maybe I smoke a couple cigarettes a day, but that's the hell. I mean, I've quit for weeks. I've got on Chantix, and the time I've been on it, killed my stomach. I had to stop them because my stomach was always upset. Of course, I was drinking Gatorade or Mountain Dew or whatever, and so I got off that. But I'm, like I say, I only smoke a couple cigarettes a day. But still, what the hell is with that, you know? And I had a valve put in, and I was in my early 50s. I'm on Coumadin now, which does not, I just don't like to hunt in cold weather anymore because my blood's thinner and I get cold easier. So I don't hunt as much, and my wildlife is so much better that I have quit drinking. I mean, amazing. And, you know, it's only a day at a time. All we're going to do is one day at a time stay sober. And wow, what a difference in life. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. I have no more problems. It's just amazing. And it's getting close. Hey, that's all I got. Yeah.